Welcome back to the Paracast. We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our forums where you can talk to fellow listeners. Just go to theparacast.com and click on the forum links. That's the forum links at theparacast.com.
Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. The guest is David Hatcher Childress, author, adventurer. We're speculating about ancient astronauts and about modern crypto-terrestrials, maybe? Modern inventions that we don't hear about, secret space programs and whatnot. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So I guess the question we'll pursue here, David, is, all right, so if we can have this kind of aircraft, wouldn't it just completely revolutionize the industry of flying? I mean, it's so primitive what we're doing with those jet engines. You know, we're basically running around the world in firecrackers, aren't we?
Well, I think that rockets are definitely very dangerous. And that's a strange part of what we're talking about is, like, is our space industry, is it some weird hoax? And I mean, every time they put the space shuttle up into space, although they're going to retire now, which is interesting itself, and you kind of think, okay, this is dangerous. We're basically going up into space on some big, you know, bomb, essentially. You know, and if there was a safer way of doing it, why wouldn't they do that? Well, even they, you know, they have to develop these kinds of technologies. The control of space would be so important, and that's another reason to keep all this secret. And it comes back to the Gary McKinnon thing in Britain, where he found this list of 100 officers who were supposedly off the planet. By controlling space and even from the moon, perhaps, then you would control this planet. And the aerospace thing is so important. And along those lines, too, would be keeping our enemies, such as, say, Iran or something, from ever developing their own, you know, aerospace technology. And it's all part of the control of the planet. And so keeping certain technologies secret, even in my mind, they would have had and tried to develop all kinds of technology that's so just speculative today, including teleportation, invisibility projects, even a special hologram technology that where they can project things in front. And in fact, the Vimanika Shastra, and that's one of the interesting things about Vimanas, when you read the ancient Indian epics, I mean, they talk about these Vimanas, these airships, but just like in a modern novel where the hero suddenly goes to the airport, gets on an airplane, flies to London or something like that, the novel doesn't suddenly stop and tell you what an airplane is and how it works and how it has these wings and there's a bunch of seats in there and there's these jet engines on the wings and stuff. They don't say that. They just tell you they got into an airplane and went someplace because they know that you know what an airplane is. And that's how the ancient Indian epics were like that, too. They talk about Vimanas, but they wouldn't go into great detail about them. However, in 1908, in central India at the Royal Baroda Library in Mysore, they found this ancient Indian text called the Vimanika Shastra. And it was from the 4th century BC. It had been, it said it was compiled from earlier ancient texts. And it was a book entirely about Vimanas. I mean, that's all it was about, these airships. And it talked about 4 different types of Vimanas. It talked about Mercury. It talked about what it was like inside the craft. I mean, and it's all written in this ancient Sanskrit. They have to translate it into modern Hindi and try and figure out what they're saying. But even in the Vimanika Shastra, they talk about how the craft had the ability to project a hologram of the craft in front of it in these aerial battles so that the enemy ships were attacking not the real Vimana aircraft, but this holographic projection. So how about that? I mean, it's all
holographic projections. You know, it sounds like almost like Star Trek with the holodeck.
Yeah. Beyond Star Trek.
Well, right. And so you would think, in my mind, the U.S. government has also worked on this kind of thing. Holographic projections. Putting, as an example, a bunch of tanks out into the desert that aren't even there. They're just projected. There's even a fascinating idea of what's called Project Blue Beam, which, in fact, Ian Fleming supposedly came up with this, talking to President Kennedy one day in the early 60s about Cuba. And he said, well, why don't you guys, project a hologram of Jesus and Mother Mary over Havana, and get all these Catholic Cubans excited kind of thing. So that's where they, and allegedly, they have projects like that where they can use lasers and things like that, create these holograms. And it's all a lot of warfare is deception, really, with, of the enemy. And so that's, again, where a lot of the secrets come in. That's one reason why, World War II, in some ways, is still going on. The battle for planet Earth is still happening. And, we don't know exactly what's happening. I've been always a big fan of James Bond movies and all these other thrillers. When you see all that with these secret bases, even stuff in Antarctica, possibly aliens being involved too. I mean, it's watching the news. Sometimes you have to think that, yeah, there's really more going on than you might really think.
Well, one thing that I can say is the state of the economy and the way that things are progressing in the modern world, I'm wondering who's really winning. I think it's almost like a lose-lose scenario. So what do you see as the potential future for disclosure? For example, there's, as you know, a very popular movement that's gaining momentum within the ufological community kind of wanting the government to come clean and disclose what they know about aliens and ETs. And you would think the level of technology that we're at right now. What do you think? Is this a pipe dream? Do you think there's any hope that the government's going to, after 60 years, finally decide that they're going to tell us the truth? What are your feelings?
Yeah, I think that eventually, yes, there will be disclosure. The government is slowly acknowledging some of this technology, acknowledging perhaps their own secret space program. I think even now this BP disaster in the Gulf and Obama's initiatives for new technologies, electric cars. I'm very excited about this Tesla Motor Company and the electric cars they're building. What will probably happen is, and it will be gradual, but we'll see our whole society moving over to more electric type and clean technologies, getting away from oil and gas. Part of it, too, for keeping it secret and for allowing the oil technology and oil-based technology to continue, is the economy of the world is right now is largely based on oil. And they're talking about this in the Gulf. If it's like a double disaster in many ways with the BP disaster, because not only is it an ecological disaster, but then if they put a moratorium on drilling in the Gulf, that would put thousands of more people out of work, because so many people in Louisiana and Texas and other areas down there work in the oil industry. And even you have things like gas stations and just even just repair shops and stuff like that. There's so many people who are employed in all the peripheral industries around oil that we can't just stop using that overnight. It would literally put so many people out of jobs in our already fragile economy. And this could be the kind of thing that really puts people out.
I'll tell you what, we'll pursue that in a moment. David Hatcher Childress joining us. Co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Hey neighbors, have you been thinking about starting a website? Well, I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a world famous leader in web hosting, and they make it easy for you to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and great selection of templates. Use the coupon code PowerCast. Once again, use the coupon code PowerCast and sign up at this special address, thepowercast.com/gator. That's G-A-T-O-R, thepowercast.com/gator. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
Our guest is David Hatcher Childress. We'll learn more about how to get a hold of him and check out his writings in a few moments. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. Chris, you want to pick up on the questioning?
Yeah, speaking about the BP scenario that's going on in the Gulf right now, I've been doing a bit of research on oil, and I think that there is some question as to how much oil is actually on the planet. You know, one of my nightmare scenarios is that the planet actually is producing the oil, and there is no such thing as peak oil where we're going to start running out. And that this very detrimental technology, ecologically, is going to have some legs. And they're just trying to milk this thing as long as they can and suck every last dime out of our pockets at the gas pumps and whatnot. Is there a way, do you think, David, for us to end our reliance, which is, as you've described, is quite extensive on an oil-based technology and oil-based economy? Is how do you see a way around this?
Well, I mean, I think it will be a gradual thing, and it will be the slow implementation of electric cars and stations that are charging them. It will also, I think, be a slow shift in our space program. And I found it was interesting that Obama canceled the moon mission that Bush had set up for 2020 just at the end of his presidential term. And then suddenly Obama said, okay, no, we're not doing that. And he then canceled what was essentially the NASA manufacturing of a new space vehicle. And what he said in his speech was interesting, where he said, well, basically, we'll let the private sector develop the new space vehicle. And if the United States is going back to the moon, we'll do it with, a space vehicle that's not made by the government, but one that's made by, Virgin Atlantic or some other private company or something.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed about electrical technology is, you hear about all these developments in hydrogen and electrical technology, for instance, but how come you don't hear about technology breakthroughs when it comes to storing electricity? Why haven't we seen amazing breakthroughs in battery technology, do you think?
Well, right. You have this whole fuel cell technology. You do have special batteries. Even there are these crystal-type batteries that can store tremendous amounts of energy. Again, I think because the United States has been so much of the leader since end of World War II in all of this technology, and they've kept much of it secret. But in the last 50 years, many countries are starting to catch up to us. And just like we have our, say, secret space program, in my mind, they're going to have that too. And so now you have China, Japan, India. These guys are all developing their own lunar probes. They're developing their own space vehicles. Perhaps, like the United States, they're trying to develop their own flying saucer, flying triangle, what we might call really exotic type of aircraft, in theory, that's electric. But, it's being done in India. It's being done in China and Japan. So as these guys develop their own space programs, send their own probes to the moon, and what will really be cool is when China, Japan, India, other countries actually they go to the moon and land people on the moon. To me, that's great. There's a really interesting YouTube footage that I've occasionally have gone to look at, and it's quite amazing. And it's on it. It apparently shows what's like some of the Apollo mission astronauts in the moon, and they're walking through some ancient craft that's on the moon. And it's very realistic. And as I've watched it, it's grainy footage, but it's these astronauts on the moon and they're walking through this like derelict, huge, like cigar-shaped craft that's crashed on the moon, and they're walking through it, they're looking at it. So how about that? I mean, now we have the idea that part of our own space program, when we went to the moon, what we found on the moon, we've kept a secret. They've if there are structures on the moon, if there are, you know, ancient spacecraft that are just lying derelict on the moon, yeah, we've been there. We've seen it. We've studied it. The astronauts walked through it. They're keeping it a secret. I maintain, too, in extraterrestrial archaeology and some of the other books, that there are these obelisks on the moon, much like on the Earth. An obelisk is a monolithic granite tower, similar to what Tesla was trying to create as his Wardenclyffe Towers. In fact, I maintain, too, in my book on Atlantis, the Power System of the Gods, that on our planet, there was at one time obelisks all over the planet. And they were on remote islands. They were in Egypt. They were in Ethiopia. They were in North America. They were, there was obelisk at Tiwanaku in Bolivia. And so, and incredibly, there are obelisks on the moon, too. And I guess my point is here that as these other nations develop the technologies as well, and they start going to the moon, that will have, that will, in a sense, force the United States to reveal some of their secret space programs, secret technologies that they've had. And, yeah, we will eventually learn slowly about these efforts, and I think it will amaze the people.
Is there any possibility here that we're having interactions with, whether it's E.T. or the remnants of the advanced civilizations or the Deros or Tiros or whoever they may be?
Right, Deros and Tiros. Well, yeah, I think we must. And part of it, the moon missions themselves, there's so much went on there, and it's, the more you look into the Apollo missions, the stranger it all gets, and it brings up so many questions, it's more than I think we can talk about in the show, but when we went to the moon, we must have encountered something there. I mean, either we discovered that the moon was occupied, and had to either interact with these occupiers, whether they're extraterrestrials or humans even, who are already on the moon, and make some treaty with them, or perhaps we were warned off the moon and told not to come back. I mean, we don't know, but something like that happened. At the same time, it's possible, and it's certainly there's stories to this effect, that UFO not ETs, whoever they were, you know, have met with the U.S. government. There's a Frank Strange's story of a stranger in the Pentagon, Val Thor, right? You must know about that story, Gene.
Well, as a matter of fact, I knew Dr. Frank Strange a long, long time ago. He's no longer with us. We'll get into more of this in a moment. We have David Hatcher Childress. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from airandaqua.com. Airandaqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, airandaqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water in your whole house. Package 2, the Whole Home Air Package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Our guest is David Hatcher Childress. Co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast.
Gene, this is really amazing. Well, I'm having a ton of fun here. It's pretty obvious that we're going to have David back if he'll come back, because we are just scratching the surface in so many areas.
And by the way, we should also point out we have these active forums, forum.theparacast.com, and I know they're going to be asking us questions, and they're going to be expecting David to go in there and put up with that abuse. So I'm going to beat up on him. Yeah,
he's. I'm sure he's tinging a lot of bells out there of our forum contributors. I really love David's freewheeling ability to tie together so many divergent elements that when you really look at them, they all seem to be really important in context with one another, and I think this today's show is really showing us that. David, when we have you back, there's some other areas I think that we should talk about as well, including some of the amazing travels that you've had and some of the interesting experiences that you've had around the world chasing down these types of secrets. Getting back quickly here, at the end of the show here, I'd really like to remind our listeners, or have you remind them, about the level of technology that you personally have witnessed at some of these megalithic sites. I don't think that this can be overstated enough. How incredible some of the cuts and the architecture and the actual engineering must have been, the knowledge that must have been available to these ancients. Could you go into that real quick for us?
Yeah, sure. And on this History Channel Ancient Alien show that I've been fortunate to be part of, I've kind of discussed this as well. And that is, with modern archaeologists, they're looking at these really gigantic megalithic walls, and they're all over the world. They're on remote Pacific islands. They're in the Middle East. They're in South America. They're down in Mexico. They're in China and other areas. And the big question that archaeologists don't ask really is why? Why would primitive ancient people want to build with, you know, giant 100-ton blocks of granite and basalt and things like that? It's what the Egyptians did. It's what you find down in South America and other areas. And there's just no reason for it. I mean, we today, with all our technology, we've got bulldozers, giant cranes, giant saws. We've got all that. But we don't build buildings out of, you know, railway car-sized blocks of granite and stuff like that. But the ancients did that, and even still today, I mean, the most popular tourist sites in the world are exactly these ancient, huge walls that are so impressive. And you have to ask yourself, why would these so-called primitive people want to build with these gigantic blocks of stone? They don't have to. I mean, we wouldn't do that today. I mean, they could have just as well made, you know, much smaller blocks of stone, stacked them up, much like we would build, or like the Romans and people built their castles. And they weren't trying to build out of railway car blocks of stone. But the ancients did that. Somehow it was easy for them. I mean, that's the question we have to ask. Why would they do something that seems so incredibly difficult? Well, what I would say was, for them, it wasn't so difficult. And this is the huge enigma, really, associated with these giant ruins and things like that around the world, is that somehow for them, it was easy. They had technology to levitate these massive stones. They didn't have to have giant cranes. They didn't have to have thousands of people hauling these giant blocks. They were able to easily move them into place, stack them up. In many cases, they're perfectly cut and fitted. And that wouldn't have to be done either, but they did that. So what they were doing was so amazing to us, and yet it had to be simple for them. And probably,
why did it have to be simple? Why not take on a challenging pursuit?
Well, but that's the question. It's like, first of all, these people are allegedly primitive people. In South America,
they didn't have writing.
Yeah, they didn't have writing. They didn't have knowledge of the wheel. I mean, they're unusually simple people, but yet what they were doing is things that are so incredibly difficult, or seemingly so. And that's the enigma. It's like, well, how could so-called primitive people do something that we couldn't really duplicate today with all our technology? And that is my friend Christopher Dunn, who wrote the Giza Power Plant and other books. And he's an engineer, and he works in a machine shop. And this, the kind of thing that he does is he gets out his special gauges that are very, you know, the micrometers and stuff like that, and he's able to look at the tolerance that is done and the perfection and precision that's in these walls and even just stuff we have in Egypt. And he's concluded that, yeah, with primitive tools, and what Egyptologists say, that, yeah, ancient Egyptians had to bash out all of these beautiful, you know, granite objects and things with a rock in their hand. I mean, and that's how they made all these things. And according to him, he's saying that, you know, this can't be made like that. They had to have, this is what he maintains, they had to have precision tools. They had to have giant saws. They had to have electricity even to run these. Just like today, we would cut granite with basically a diamond tip saw. We would have to use that. And they had to have that too. I mean, according to him, it couldn't be done any other way. To me, that is what is so fascinating, is that the technology we have today, they had to have a similar technology. But archaeologists, you know, don't see that as possible. They just can't see how ancient civilizations could have had the kind of technology we have today. And that is electricity, machines, heavy machinery too. I mean, just like today, we've got giant bulldozers and backhoes and cranes and stuff. They had to have those things too, including giant saws to quarry things.
Either that or they levitated it.
Well, right, and then the moving, I mean, cutting these blocks is one thing, but to move them is something else, and that's an enigma. And that's where, the only real answer to me is that they had to be able to levitate these blocks of stone. NASA has done some studies like that, too, including what's called acoustic levitation, and that's the whole idea of using sound and vibration and then levitating things. You have the biblical story, too, of Joshua blowing his horn and the walls of Jericho fall down. I mean, here's a famous story that almost everyone knows from the Bible. But it's so bizarre. I mean, could it really be that using sound technology and blowing some horn, you would cause the city walls, some ancient city, to collapse? That's what the Bible is telling us. And
is that like the opera singer who sings at a certain frequency and there goes the glass?
Shatters the glass, right?
Exactly. So there's a way. Sound and vibration are sort of what make up matter. And by hitting certain types of notes, certain type of vibrations, you can destroy things. That was also a Nikola Tesla invention, what's known as Nikola Tesla's earthquake machine. And even a History Channel, when they do have a show about Nikola Tesla, and they mention this, his earthquake machine. And it, too, has to do with vibration and sound. And what Tesla found, you get a certain type of a resonance and a harmonic, and a building can completely collapse. This is another similar thing of when the military walks across bridges, they break step. And because a certain harmonic vibration of all of just troops marching across a bridge can destroy it.
Speaking of harmonic vibrations, we have one coming up and we can't avoid it, otherwise we'll break. David Hatcher Childress is with us. Chris O'Brien laughing at last at one of my bad jokes. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to mainmilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
On air, online,
and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Our guest this week is David Hatcher, Childress, co-host Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. David, we know that we're abandoning publicly the space program unless we give it all to private industry. So is this basically an act on the part of the administration because there's a secret space program that's doing all this, or what? What's the end game?
Well, I think that, yeah, this is a chance by our current administration to turn over the space program to the people. And that's the thing with all this so-called secret technology that they've gone, the secret space program, is that, yeah, the military's got it. They keep it a secret. It's for our own interests, supposedly. They're keeping us safe. Because the American military is tops. But by letting our space program go to a more civilian and private companies and think tanks, it allows the technology to come to the consumer. And that's what's not happening with the secret space program. The military's got all kinds of special technologies. They want to keep it secret, and that's all fine. But eventually, these things need to come out to the normal consumer. And I mean, there'll be a time, it's going to be years from now, where things like teleportation, anti-gravity, electric spacecraft, things like that, they'll be commonplace. And it's only when normal consumers can have access to these things that, you know, they're not secret anymore. And ultimately, it will come out, I believe. And probably by the time we return to the moon, and however we do it, that's where we'll really start to see the shift, I think, from the secret technology that they're going to allow us to have. And ultimately, the government will say, yes, we have flying triangles. Yes, we have flying discoid craft. Yes, we have giant tubular craft. And yes, you know, we've got a secret space station up in space, or whatever they've got. And they will ultimately, full disclosure will come. And perhaps
why would they disclose it at that particular point in time? Would the oil companies allow them to disclose it?
Well, yeah, the oil companies now are kind of have their backs against the wall. Oil companies really, for the last 50, 60, 70 years, I mean, they've more or less controlled the planet. And the world's economy has been based on oil. And the other part of the economy is based on the military-industrial complex. So creating all the the aircraft, the jet fighters, the aircraft carriers, the super subs. And so that's kind of what the First World does. We create all these super machines, and they're expensive. We export them and things like that. But it's still all based around the oil technology. But that is going to change. And we're going to see a shift, I predict, away from oil, away from gas-guzzling cars, and into a new technology, and it will be largely electric. And this is the future that Nikola Tesla saw for us, but we were detoured, basically, around World War II into this oil technology world. But, you know, Tesla, who died during World War II, he would have said, this is not the way to go. We want to pursue electric technology and electric spacecraft. And finally, after 50 years of suppression, we are going to go that way.
Chris, you want to take this to another direction or what?
Well, I think this is a perfect illustration of how oil companies are hedging their bets. If you go out and try to buy solar panels, let's say you want to be off the grid and build a DC solar system, guess who owns all the manufacturing facilities to make solar panels? The oil companies. So I think that they're seeing the writing on the wall to some degree and are diversifying and getting into wind and solar and other types of clean energy because at some point, David, you're right, this whole petroleum-based economy has got some real problems, as we're seeing, currently in the Gulf. And I just hope it's sooner rather than later. I think that the devastation that's going on ecologically on the planet because of oil, the planet's going to be okay, but it could really adversely impact billions of people on the planet if this doesn't change. So.
Well, and this ecological disaster is really drawing the attention of, not just America, but the entire planet on, how bad this oil-based economy is and how we really need to change. And even, Obama has made, speeches to that effect. And this is, in many ways, I think, a turning point, for us, and technologically so.
Now, okay, let's look at what we can do in the remaining couple of minutes here to get the evidence we need. Is it going to all depend on the government telling us, on the crypto-terrestrials or ET telling us, or is there something we folk can do about it?
Man, we need some whistleblowers.
Well, right, and it's so much of it is people being informed, seeing through the sort of black fog that they've put out to obfuscate so much of what's going on. The whole UFO mystery is so complicated. There's so much misinformation, wrong information. It's seeing through all this, it's difficult. But as we, shows like this, I think, and more and more researchers coming out, and people in the government, hopefully, and even in the oil companies, being whistleblowers, coming out, and ultimately people seeing for themselves these new technologies that seem so fantastic, and yet, in many cases they're 50, 60, 70, even 80 years old, but still kept secret.
Well, maybe it'll come to pass. We have just a few moments left. David Childress, would you tell our listeners where they can find more about the stuff that you write about and the things you do?
We have a catalog that we send out and extensive web pages with many of my books and other DVDs and other people's as well. They can find that at adventuresunlimitedpress.com. And see our online store. There's all kinds. We import books from England, Australia, and other areas. And they can write to us, too, at P.O. Box 74, Kempton, Illinois, 60946. And, we send out a 70-page catalog of all kinds of cool books and DVDs.
All right, and we'll be exploring more of your books in the near future. What is your latest title, by the way?
Well, my last two books are, one is called Lost Cities and Ancient Mysteries of the Southwest, and it's all about unusual things in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Nevada and California. And then my most recent book, which just came out in February, is a cryptozoology title, which is called Yeti, Sasquatch, and Hairy Giants. And that reflects a lot of my interest and travels to Nepal and Tibet, India, Mongolian stuff, looking for Yetis, and stuff here in the United States as well.
Now, I'll tell you this, my wife does not call me a hairy giant, by the way. Just want to correct the record. Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of the things you do?
Well, I am published by David's publishing company, Ventures Unlimited Press. Also, I have my own website called Our Strange Planet. We live on a strange planet. It doesn't belong to me or you. It's OurStrangePlanet.com. And there you can find, quite an extensive listing of my articles and stories that I post from around the world, and also my complete database from my many years investigating the San Luis Valley in Colorado.
And you can find us at theparacast.com. That's with a T-H-E, theparacast.com, where you can download free of charge over 200 episodes of the show. Check out our forums, forum.theparacast.com, forum.theparacast.com. Special thanks to David Hatcher Childress and, of course, our co-host Chris O'Brien. Thank you both for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Thanks, Gene. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank you so much, David, for being on.
The Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.